Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you, with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Apco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with EasyCare. Please welcome my guest today, David Malone, Senior VP of Sales for Call Review. David, welcome to Forward.
Corey Smith, thank you for having me. I love your energy, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
This episode is tailor-made for you, and I can't wait to get into it. I know you're a huge advocate when it comes to customer experience. We're going to title this episode as Employee and Customer Experience, How to Get Them to the Next Level, right? So before we really get into this episode, David, tell our audience a little bit about you, how you got in the business, and what are you doing now?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So, you know, my journey in communications and automotive, believe it or not, started out about 30 years ago. And how it worked out is I worked for a bank and I was making auto loans and finance loans, and a dealership out in Los Angeles, I caught his attention, and he liked how I looked at credit reports. And mind you, this is before FICO was a thing. So I had to learn how to make auto loans without FICO and really understanding who that customer was to make sure they were going to either pay us back, or if they weren't great at paying us back, making sure we were charging them the appropriate amount to make it worth it for us, right? But I got an automotive, like, you know, originally like that. And then I did take a break from automotive for a while and got into finance and mortgage finance and commercial, and then jumped back into automotive, I'm going to say 15 years ago, and worked for a few CRM companies, and then started working in communications. I'm probably one of the very few guys now or people that have worked for all three major communications providers. So I think there's a select group of four of us, but yeah, here I am. And now I was with Total CX over the last 5 years. We just had a an amazing partnership. Call Review came in and purchased us, and we'll get into a little bit details later on, but I'm now very excited to be with the Call Review team.
That's awesome. So can you tell me what really inspires you to focus on customer experience within the automotive industry? Let's start there.
Yeah, you know, it starts with my personal life. I try to be an effective communicator with my own family. I have an amazing wife of 30 years and three sons who I call all my best friends. And it comes back down to if I'm failing in my communication, my wife will be the first one to tell me. My kids will be the first one to tell me. So I have tried to just bleed that over into the business world. How can I be an effective communication leader? How can I help employees and customers get to that next level on, you know, either what drives them personally or professionally? And I feel if I can help get them from A to Z, from all my experience and all the, you know, curbs I've tripped over, then I hope to help them get somewhere. You know, I hope I make their personal life better. I hope they make their business life better with whatever the communication takes. So communication is, man, you don't come out of high school and say, I'm going to go into communications. I thought I was going to be a police officer or an attorney or, you know, get into law enforcement in some capacity. And that's not God's plan for me. So here we are in communications, you know, 30 years later.
Yeah. And I love that. First of all, kudos to you and your wife, 30 years. That's amazing feat. And the fact that you're outnumbered, both of you, with three kids, God bless you, because I have two, and I don't know if I'd want to be outnumbered, because that's really hard. So I appreciate that. Yeah. I think it's that old saying that I can say I'm the best communicator, but if you don't comprehend what I say, David, am I the best communicator? Right.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the school we go to doesn't teach us how to be great communicators, to use this voice and how to articulate what we're trying to say in a manner. Mm-hmm. They teach us, you know, spelling and writing and math. I can go old school and say arithmetic, right? But they teach us all those great things, but they really don't teach us how to be great communicators. So with it, employee engagement is often said to be the backbone of exceptional customer service. Mm-hmm. In your experience, what are the key strategies that companies should really implement to improve employee satisfaction and engagement in the automotive sector?
Yeah. Well, you know, on the employee side, it's transparency. You know, I'm very fortunate. The gentleman who was spearheaded at Calvary, who came over and purchased us, he's our CEO. His name is Ben Choder. He is an amazing communicator. As good as I try to be, he's the ultimate. He's a great communicator. And he and I have conversations all the time about how do we make sure that we are very transparent with our employees, because from there, if you're transparent and you're honest and open, that doesn't mean sugarcoat anything. Doesn't mean, what it does mean is make sure you're very honest and you have those eyeball conversations, right? Honest conversations about where you help them in their growth, how they can get better for their current customers. And I think as long as you're transparent, open, even when you make mistakes, that's okay. Own up to them, figure them out. When you collectively can get on the same page with your peers, you know, with your management above you and below you, when everybody knows that you're truly, genuinely there for their best interest and you're open for dialogue that's transparent, I think you'll go a long way. It's a great base to start with.
Okay, I like that. So what are some other strategies that let's stay with the employee experience? Because I think, sure. I personally think that's first, right? If the employee mm-hmm. doesn't have a great experience or a great working knowledge of the business that they're working in, to them it's just a job, right? And if they're customer facing, mm-hmm. then they're not doing a great job at communicating with the customer, right?
Yeah.
So what are some other things that you can do for your employee at any business level mm-hmm. at the dealership?
You know, empower them. I think if somebody feels empowered and you can look at them and say, I believe in you. And here's all the things I give to you as keys to put you in control of your own destiny, right? You're the CEO of your certain area. Let's just call it that.
Oh, right? I like that.
Whatever that position is, right? You're the CEO of your certain position. I'm empowering you. I'm going to let you make decisions. I'm not saying that you need to be perfect. We'll talk about the mistakes that you make along the way. But I think if an employee feels empowered and trusted, they will go out of their ways to go above and beyond what their job title tells you that they probably should be doing. I think they'll go out of their way of maybe even what's required for them on paper, and they will become, they'll go from a good employee to a great employee to an excellent employee. And I've seen it over and over and over, but you got to empower them.
Okay. I like that. Now, if we talk about transparency and empowering them, mm-hmm. I think it can't get unnoticed that the employee is changing from old school employees. I'm classifying myself as that old school employee.
Yeah.
To the new thinking of the employee, mm-hmm. they're changed. It's no longer, they're not motivated by money or anything like that. They're motivated by other things.
Yeah.
How can the business, whether it's an owner or someone that's a leader, talk to this new generation? There's a big gap, and I think COVID had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Of how they changed their thinking of I'd rather have more days off, or I want a certain schedule. Money isn't the driver. Like I remember going from one job to another because I got paid more, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the case now.
Right. Well, you know, what was the big buzzword for a long time? People were quietly quitting, right? There for a while. And I think the people that were quietly quitting were like, you know what? I have no resolve here. I have no say. I have no power to fix or change things. It falls on deaf ears. And I think that's where you lose people. So going back to the new generation, what they want to feel that they are in control of their own destiny. So if you micromanage them, they will leave. They will leave. You can't, you know, and I'm from the old school generation also. I mean, you heard me when I started 30 years ago. That was an old school generation where they could micromanage you, and it was almost expected. And that was just the way it was, and you went through it. Well, if you attempt to manage this new group of humans that are in the job market, that have come in the job market the last 15, 18, 20 years, if you act like that to them, they will take it as a sign of you don't trust them. They're not empowered. and they will go find something else to do, even if that means starting their own business without having any understanding of what they're trying to do. But they will do anything just so you don't, they don't feel like they're completely suffering underneath somebody's thumb. So you have to give them the proper training up front. You have to give them the guidance, the education. You have to be communicative, not just with your mouth and verbally, but you can also help put things in writing to them. Let's face it, you know, a lot of people right now, nowadays, they don't like to necessarily even jump on the phone and talk. They want to text. Yes. Okay. Well, what gets lost there? Some things that get lost in email and text is the tone. Sometimes you think of people, somebody yelling at you, and then they're not yelling at you, but you take it as, so how does this communication get so tricky all of a sudden? Well, now you have to attack in a bunch of different ways. Yes, you have to still be verbal. Sometimes you still have to pick up the phone and go, wait, let's not text or email anymore. Let's not get lost in translation. Let's own this together and talk through things out. So going back to your initial thing, Corey, I think that you have to allow employees, young or old, give them the opportunity to feel empowered about where they are heading in their career, and let them, the ones that are going to soar will soar. If you give them the right opportunity, they will take off. They'll be amazing employees. The ones that don't work out in that scenario, you know what? Maybe they're just not right for you and your company, but give them that opportunity to make you look like a hero.
I like that. So now that we've unpacked that a little bit more, let's say in perfect world, the management is communicating and meeting the needs of the employee, mm-hmm. giving them that training, right? And I know from my personal perspective, my training was, there's your computer, there's your phone, those are your texts, good luck, right? Right? Hopefully, you in the perfect world, you get more than that. You get onboarding, it's beautiful, you're happy. Mm-hmm. Now that employee is facing customers, right? Mm-hmm. If they're communicating to those customers, mm-hmm. do we have some stats that go with how much the retention that business gets from having a customer that's receiving that communication from the employee?
You know, I think so. You know, I didn't plan on this, Corey, but that's a great question. You know, for instance, I've been doing a lot of studies in a book that I just read. It's called The Effortless Experience, and it gives you a lot of stats, and I don't have them off the top of my head, but I welcome you and in the audience to go grab that book, Effortless Experience. And it kind of coincides what Harvard has been doing. I took some, you know, just certified courses through Harvard over the last year, because it kind of turned me on to where are we going as a generation in communication with employees and customers. So I think the stats are very high when it comes to the 80-90% category, when employees will stay, customers will stay with the proper communication, 85-95% realm, which means is that doesn't mean they always like what they're hearing. If you're talking, let's just use the number 90%. Sometimes 90% doesn't necessarily mean they love everything they're hearing, but they're understanding it because you're doing an effective job of communicating to that employee, to that customer, on sometimes necessarily what you can't do, but at least what you can do, and being honest about that. With the employee, sometimes they don't necessarily want to hear you can't do it, but you explain to them, well, this is where we're going, this is what we can do, where we will help. Same thing with customers. Customers don't always want to hear you can't do it. You know what? Use language and terms and get around of what you can't do and find ways of saying, this is what we can do, this is what we will do, this is where we'll help you get through this challenging scenario. And most people will do very well as long as they know what you can do. Get away from what you can't.
Oh, I love that. That's what I classify as radio gold, David. Nice job. I love that.
Thank you.
So now let's change from your perspective. How has the customer experience in the automotive industry evolved over the years, especially when with the rise of digital technology?
Sure.
Right. Can you highlight some best practices that a dealer can adopt to enhance their customer interaction?
I can. And, you know, this is something that I've been really focused on, because automotive has changed, right? Especially since COVID. There's a lot of things that has changed what their customers do in order to purchase a car or go through the service department, right? Things have changed. So they're being, what's the word? They're being looked at with more scrutiny. How does that franchise dealership, let alone, there's obviously independent dealers that are the same way, but they are looked at by their customers very, very hard. So what does that mean for me as a provider, a vendor, right? For me to be a provider to my, and we have about 7,000 rooftops, Corey, just so you know.
Wow.
Okay. So I think NADA just reported, I'm going to use a rough number, but I think it's fairly close. There's about 16,500 franchise automotive, you know, rooftops, 16,500. And we have right around a little over 7,000 of them. So we're getting to the halfway mark, which is pretty good. And I think the only way you can get there is you have to provide a service that doesn't become white noise to your customers anymore. So what does that mean? So for example, we're in the call monitoring business. We're in the end-to-end telephony business. So there's a lot of companies in our space that have only one of two products. There's some companies that only have call monitoring, call it call tracking. Okay, that's one. But if you needed to go find a hosted phone system, something that was actually operational, then you would have to go to another provider. Well, what we have done to set ourselves apart and where CallRview came in and bought Total CX is they purchased us so we could have that combined scenario. So now a customer doesn't have to go look for different partners. They come to CallRview. We can give them that call monitoring. We'll get a little more details in the features, but also the hosted phone system. So what does that mean? Well, now when a salesperson, excuse me, let's start over. When a customer's on Google and they're looking for a certain vehicle and all of a sudden they happen to get to potentially, let's just call, they find what they want on, you name it, Auto Trader, cars.com, car, whatever it's at. And then somehow they go from there to the website and then from a website to a phone call. These are all things that we like to follow very closely. Now, this is where it gets exciting. If a customer calls up Corey Smith and Corey's the sales guy and they happen to say, hey, Corey, as an example, looking at this certain vehicle, can you tell me about it? Corey's doing a killer job telling everybody about this great car. But then I say, hey, Corey, by the way, how much is it then? And you say, well, our internet price is, or our price is, and you give a number. That customer was already going to try to beat you up anyways, no matter what number you probably said. Right. But they're going to say, oh, Corey, come on, man. ABC brand down the street just quoted me $5,000 lower. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. Most competitors, Corey, in my space will get that call and they will send that call after the call hangs up to that sales manager. Let's just call it sales manager, general manager, whoever might be responsible for listening to these type of calls. Problem is now, if that sales manager goes, oh man, Corey, you let that guy off the hook way too easy. Problem is now they're like, hey, get that customer back on the phone. I can straighten this out. Our stats show it takes 7 to 8 phone calls just to get that customer back on the call to try to talk to them. Because guess what? They've called everybody else now. And matter of fact, they don't even remember Corey's name all that well because they talked to 7 other people too. It becomes very white noise to the dealership. So they stop listening to the phone calls in that round. So what do we do? What's the solution? So with our AI that we started even building 8 years ago with Google, a lot of people don't know this, but we were Google's first partner 8 years ago. And what we were allowed to do is build something with them. And CallRview was genius for bringing us in, doing the acquisition, because we're a perfect partner because they do some amazing things on the AI side that we are embracing and thankful for our partnership. But now what I could do, Corey, is when a dealership is struggling on the phone live time, doesn't matter if it's in service or sales, we will tee up a live call to a manager that can help on the spot. So they'll be teed up. They'll see exactly the keywords that they want to know about. That was why they were delivered an alert on their cell phone or via email. And now they could be monitoring that call and they can do a couple things. They could either whisper to that salesperson, service advisor, BDC person, how to overcome these objections, or better yet, so they could some Corey Smith, who's the salesperson, will say, you know what? I have a manager sitting right next to me. Let him jump in. man, he could be in he could be two states over, Corey. My whole point to this is we tee up the right conversation for the manager who will solve that problem before that customer hangs up. Otherwise, it becomes white noise and nobody wants to chase people constantly.
Oh, I love that. So that's really how you bridge the gap between customer interaction and employee, right?
It is. I mean, there's a lot of blind spot detection that we overcome in, you know, in the service department and the sales. So you're absolutely right. With real-time alerts, and we have mobile capabilities, or, you know, MMS, everything that is right there, our AI power technology just puts the dealership in the right spot when it matters the most, and not after the fact, because it's just too late then.
Wow. Okay. I love that. So that's just, you know, one of the many best practices that you could, that you at the dealership level can really do. David, that's great. So how do you see technology, if we take another gear into integration and technology, how do you see technology playing a role in really making that customer satisfied? And can you provide some more examples other than the one that you just talked about, how Call Review's solution have transformed the customer experience?
Sure. Let's talk about a couple, just even the reputation management side of things. You know, we are very helpful in the spam management of things. Let's face it, right now with a lot of the new rules that have passed and changed over the last 12 months, 24 months, a lot of the carriers, right, T-Mobile, Verizon, and so forth, have been almost overly sensitive and have been spamming franchise dealers or anybody who's just trying to call out to a customer to let them know how they can service them. And it's really caused a really tough ripple effect for auto dealers. So we help with spam management. We go in without going too deep right now, but we are able to help franchise dealerships get rid of spam, the spam problems they're having. That way the call actually connects, for one. That's one. The other part of reputation management, we are very much involved with Google Analytics. You've probably heard the GA4 integrations. We know that dealerships are spending a lot of money on their advertisements, a lot of money to make sure that everything that they put out there reaches them back. So we were the first one to raise our hands and say, we want to be part of the GA4 integration. We want to be part of Google. We want to be part of the franchise dealers' lives, independent lives, and make sure that all of this information is tagged correctly, the phone calls are connecting, and dealerships are making their ROI back on everything that they spend when it comes to digital marketing and their expenditure reporting.
Wow. Okay. So looking ahead, what emerging trends do you foresee in the realm of employee and customer experience in the automotive industry? And what advice can you give the companies striving to stay ahead of the curve and continuously improve their service quality?
Mm-hmm. This is almost going to sound too simple, but you know what? Sometimes we all fail to ask our customers, where do we best help you, right? Right now, we at Call Review think that we are ahead of the curve for paying. You know, we think we've been paying attention. We know that real-time alerts are important to dealership. We know that GA4 is important. We know that spam management is important because we were proactive and asked these things. Well, we're ahead of it right now, but we could get lulled to sleep as an industry or as a provider if we're not asking our best customers, and sometimes the customers that maybe even feel like that maybe we're not even entrenched with them yet. How do we best help them? Just listening to them. Sometimes you don't want to hear if they're going to call your baby ugly, but if they're factual and you hear enough of them saying, hey, we're challenged here, we need more help there, that allows you to go back to your sales or your engineers who create all the software and go, you know what? Right now, we might not have a feature that helps a customer get from A to Z, but we know that our customers are telling us that they're having a hole in their bucket here or a challenge there. That gives you the opportunity ahead of time to go to your team and build something for them that will, you know, that will be ahead of time and not behind the time, right? Not always perfect on that, but as long as you're listening to your customer and giving them the opportunity to tell you where you could be better, I think you'll go a long way with them. And I think they'll respect you for it because nobody's perfect. And I think they want you to know that, hey, I care enough where I'm going to spend money on my development to make sure that I ensure you, Mr. Customer, have the best success with your customer.
I like that a lot. How would you go about doing it? Is it an email, a text message, a survey, or is it a phone call and asking?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody likes to be communicated to differently, right? Yeah. Like, it's very difficult. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm in communications. If I don't know you, I probably am not picking up that phone call all the time. But I'm a great text guy, and I'm a great email guy. So it depends on how that I think you have to give that customer different avenues to communicate with you. You know, maybe it's smoke signals sometimes, halfway kidding there, but you know, give them every opportunity that's available to them and you, you know, to communicate to you, and they're going to pick one of the five, you know, chat, phone call, email, text, meeting you in person, setting up a calendar invite, just saying, hey, I'm going to come by for 15 minutes. You know what? One out of the five, most likely they're going to accept. So you just have to be very proactive and give them the opportunity to find the best avenue on how they want to communicate to you.
All right. I like that. So before we wrap up, David, is there any final pieces of advice or insight you would like to share with our listeners on how to create a seamless and impactful employee and customer experience in the automotive world?
Yes, thank you. You know what? We've had a lot of disruption in our industry, and it started with COVID. And the chip shortage and this and that. I think we're all trying to regroup a little bit. And what's next? How does 24 look like, the end of it? And what's 25 look like? So I think the best thing that we can do as in automotive is truly be nice to each other, give each other the opportunity to communicate and find out where we can fill gaps in for each other, right? I just spoke at an event recently, and I think we had 70, it was a small, intimate dealership scenario where we had 75 different rooftops there. And I said, the only way that I make money as a vendor, if I can impact your life and give you a tool that's going to help you make money. I go, the only way that I can do that really well is if we all come together and we recognize that none of us can be perfect. I don't want to be over salesy on this, but at the same time, I get paid to make you look great in front of your customer. How do we do that? I open up those questions sometimes, and I'm almost surprised. And every once in a while, I'll get a customer that says, you know what? You've been doing great here and here. If you only could do this, this will change my life. Maybe I can fix it. Maybe I can't. But if you're a franchise dealer, give your vendors the opportunity on how to help you. If you're a vendor, make sure you communicate back to the customer that you want to supply business operations with and ask them, where do I help you? Until we ask those questions, sometimes we assume inappropriately and we never get the right answer because we didn't ask the right question.
Oh, that is gold. Another nugget, David. Bravo, sir. I love that. It's almost you have the conversation in your head and you go through this, you go through that scenario twice when you're saying just go through it once. Just ask. Right?
You have to ask.
I love that. If you don't ask, the answer is always no, right?
That's right. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, small little story. You know what? I drive motorcycles myself. And you know what? Harley, as you probably know the story already, Harley almost went out of business. Harley started asking their customers before they went out of business, where do you see the challenge? What's going on here? A lot of them told them it was their heating problem. It was how their engines weren't cooling off. Little tweaks. You would almost think since they were building these engines, that was, they would have known. But you know, it was the customers that said, here's the problem, Mr. Provider. That saved Harley's life. I know that's an old story, but of those of you who don't know it, it's that simple practice.
Yeah. So before I let you go, David, what are three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, an agent, a vendor, a person in leadership at the dealership can take away from this episode?
Well, I know we're all busy, and because of that, sometimes busy work gets in the way of really, truly on how we can best connect with employees and best connect with customers. So I hate to say it, but sometimes you have to force yourself to slow down a little bit and make the real thing the right thing, and don't keep doing just a bunch of busy work and doing things that you feel like you have to get done just to check the box. Sometimes let those things go. Take a deep breath. Recognize where the true win's going to be and focus on that.
I love that. Okay. How can people get in touch with you?
Thank you. I appreciate that. So I'm at David Malone at callreview.com. They can also reach me at my direct number. It's 949-677-7837. Both of those ways are the best to get a hold of me. I'm also on LinkedIn, David Malone at Call Review. I love communicating on LinkedIn also. So all three of those communication opportunities are right there for us.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help you achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. David, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Corey Smith, because of you, I will come back. You're a great guy. I love what you're doing. I think you're making an impact yourself. And I love your communication style. And you have nothing but my respect and appreciation. So thank you, Corey.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.